I suppose what's maybe surprising is that Aaron Rodgers did not look his usual self after being Superman for the first, oh, however many games in the season, the first 13 games of the season. This was probably his worst game, and not that he did really poor, but, you know, some of those throws were off, throws that you saw him make earlier in the season, and certainly could have been helped out by some catches that were dropped by JerMichael Finley and a couple other receivers. But, it just wasn't there for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers on Sunday.
How important is Greg Jennings? Because I imagine it's beyond the numbers. It's one of those things where, you know, the balance within the receiving core is thrown off a little bit. Do you feel like that was one of the factors that may have thrown Aaron Rodgers off just a little bit?
You know, it obviously doesn't look good that the Packers lost, and being the coincidence that Greg Jennings didn't play in his first game of the year. I would like to think that these next couple games, the passing game is going to be fine without Jennings. There is enough talent at wide receiver for the Packers between Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, JerMichael Finley, Randall Cobb, James Jones, the list goes on, that they can get it done without Greg Jennings. Not to say he's not talented and not to say he couldn't help, but I think there is enough talent there that they can get the job done and still be very, very good.
You mentioned JerMichael Finley's drops, and that certainly didn't help. I mean, since when did this become a problem? Because before the season started, you asked me before the year began, I would have said that Finley has some of the best hands on the team, and that if somebody was going to drop his fair share of passes, that it would not be him. Where did we see this problem start?
Yeah, it was out of character. Just the past couple weeks, the past two or three, this has been kind of reoccurring for Finley. And I would say that it wasn't a problem earlier in the season and seasons prior as well. So it just seems to be in the past couple weeks. And you know, JerMichael Finley is going to be a free agent at season's end, and maybe he'll... maybe he'll be motivated by that fact to turn in a little bit better performance and not drop so many passes, because his next paycheck could depend on it at least a little bit.
Wanted to touch on the defense as well, because I think there was a sense by a lot of folks that one of the reasons the Packers have had a little bit of difficulty on defense, allowing a lot of yardage, is because they knew that the offense would always bail them out, that somehow the offense would get more points than they would allow. And this was a situation, I think maybe for the first time all season, where the defense was asked to make a few stops late in the game. The Packers actually took the lead in the second half, but the last couple of drives, the touchdown drive in the fourth quarter, and then when the Packers got back to within five, just having Kansas City run it down their throat with big chunks of yardage to get a pair of first downs to end the game. The defense did not step up when they needed to for the first time, I think, really this season. Is that make for more worry? Because, I mean, a lot of folks thought, I think, that the Packer offense was so good, the defense, they would be there when we needed them. They weren't there on Sunday. Is there reason to worry about that defense when the Packers need them to get a stop?
It's possible. What's really interesting is that the Packers defense, despite the problems they've had this year, giving up tons of yards, although they've gotten kind of, like you said, stops when they need it, they're a team that was able to get turnovers. They lead the NFL in interceptions. They're among the league leaders in turnover differential, and they got zero turnovers against the Chiefs, which that's out of character for them, too, for the defense. So, you think that it's something that's happened all season long, that it's going to happen again. They're going to get interceptions in the future. It's just a matter of time. It'll be Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, whoever. Somebody's going to come up with an INT, because they've done it all year.
We're joined here on Sports Fan Live on Sports Fan 100.5 by Brian Caravu of Cheesehead TV. Brian, sticking with the defense, one of the guys, two starters out of the game on Sunday, no Ryan Pickett and no Desmond Bishop. in that loss to Kansas City. I want to talk about Bishop for a second because he's a guy who obviously played well last year, having a good season before he was injured this year. Now, the guys that have stepped in, played for Bishop and also Hawk when Hawk was a little bit banged up, Robert Francois and also DJ Smith, they seem to have done a pretty good job, each of them even coming up with a turnover. But how much is, you know, in a close game like on Sunday where the Packer defense needed a stop, how much do you think Bishop has missed?
I don't know if he'd be the difference between winning and losing, but I think Desmond Bishop is missed by the Packers. Yes, DJ Smith and Robert Francois have done admirably in his place, but I don't think they're Desmond Bishop. I don't think they're quite making the impact that he would have. Yes, they've had an interception, but it just seems like Desmond Bishop is more comfortable making more tackles. He's able to sniff out a little more plays because of his experience. So in that regard, the Packers are missing him, definitely.
Wanted to ask you as well, you cover the Packers closely. Do you think Chad Clifton will be back this season? Do you think Chad Clifton will be able to play at a level to make him a real plus getting back on the field for the Packers?
That is a very good question, and I wish I could answer it. I think what the Packers are going to do, Chad Clifton practiced today for the first time since week five, and he participated in individual drills. That doesn't mean he's going to play Sunday, but I think the Packers, what they're going to try to do is find out here in the next 2 weeks, the final 2 weeks of the regular season, whether Chad Clifton can return, whether he can be a factor for the Packers in the playoffs. It could be a case where they're better off with Marshall Newhouse at left tackle, but I think they're going to give it a shot and find out what Chad Clifton has.
What do we make of Marshall Newhouse at this point? Because he seems to have been up. I thought he played pretty well for Clifton the first couple of games, but last Sunday he seemed like he was getting thrown around on almost every single play.
Yes, it's been a rough going for Marshall Newhouse. Whenever he's faced good defensive linemen, good defensive ends, like Tom Bahaly last week against the Chiefs, like Jason Pierre-Paul for the Giants, they've really kind of taken him to the woodshed, and Newhouse has not performed well in those games. Now he faces Julius Peppers of the Bears this upcoming weekend, so that's not going to be an easy matchup for him either. So, you know, I think Marshall Newhouse is going to get better the more experience he has, the more he plays. And I'm certainly not I'm not giving up hope on him next year in 2012 that he can't, you know, really be a force and turn it around. But he is getting owned right now by good defensive ends.
You mentioned Julius Peppers. Let's talk a little bit about the matchup on Sunday night with the Bears, because while Chicago has continued to struggle offensively, that defense has still been doing a rather solid job trying to get around all those interceptions being thrown by Caleb Haney. With the Packers' injuries on the offensive front and the always strong defensive front for the Bears, how do you see that matchup on Sunday night?
Yeah, the Bears' defense always seems to match up well with the Packers' offense. I mean, obviously the Packers have won the last three games against them, but they haven't put up gaudy numbers in any of those games. You know, I think the Packers can win because the Bears' offense is so injury-riddled right now, and I think the Packers' offense is just a bit better than the Bears' defense, but it should probably be another one of those close games, maybe a grinded-out game in December.
Aaron, one more quick. What do you think the over-under will be for the Packers in terms of the amount of sacks they'll give up? Because I can't see the Bears. I mean, I think the Bears are going to, you know, get their opportunities at Aaron Rodgers. Do you think it's going to be one of those games where Rodgers is going to have to make some plays with a lot of heat?
Oh, it's going to be a choice, too, of whether the Packers want Aaron Rodgers to be sitting back in that pocket and wanting to make plays deep downfield with the patchwork offensive line in front of him, and the much more important playoffs to come, they're not going to want him taking any hits. So you got to think they're going to be using some short routes and running some screen passes and some slants and plays in which Aaron Rodgers is not likely to be taking a seven-step drop in the pocket and then, you know, getting drilled by Julius Peppers and Brian Urlacher. But, if it's a close game, the Packers are going to have to, do what it takes to win. So, but it is a concern. You'd have to, you mentioned the over-under, you have to imagine be somewhere around 4 or 5.
Brian Caravu joining us here on Sports Fan Live on Sportsman 100.5 from Cheesehead TV. Brian, quickly before we let you go, I wanted to, I know you've covered the Brewers some and had to some work with that. What's your reaction on the whole Ryan Braun story?
You know, we sit here and everybody's kind of waiting for the decision that's going to come down. And I think with Ryan Braun, if it's found out that he didn't take any PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, his name will be cleared a little bit. But there's so much we don't know right now. I think I even read somewhere, even if he didn't take a performance-enhancing drug and it was just kind of a prescription medication, that he could still be suspended just because you're responsible for what you put in your body. So, I have no clue what's going on behind the scenes there at Major League Baseball, but at least if it's not a PED, I think his name is cleared a little bit, and fans everywhere will feel a little bit better about this player who's been accused of doping.
That is a good point. Brian Caravu of Cheesehead TV joining us here on Sports Fan Live. Brian, we got to go to a break, but thanks a lot for coming on.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Fan Live on Sports Fan 100.5.
What's the first thing you think of when you hear football? Lazy Boy. That's right, Lazy Boy recliners. Miller Furniture of Merrill has Lazy Boy recliners on sale now with over 100 in stock and the best prices around. Getting a Lazy Boy from Miller Furniture of Merrill, just plain smart.
PGA Incorporated has been the name to trust for plumbing, heating, and cooling in the Wausau area since 1994. PGA is also the name to trust for a whole lot more, like residential electrical services and blown, bad, or spray foam insulation.